What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Mets with Mel. I'm your host, Melissa, and what a crazy first week of baseball this has been for the New York Mets. They just got their first win today, second game of the doubleheader, walked it off in the ninth inning, and that is how we got our first win of the season. And it has been nothing short of chaos leading up to that ninth inning today. I mean, we are so used to the Mets being great in April. Like, April baseball is so fun for Mets fans. Usually when it comes to June is when we start to fizzle out and it just becomes like painful and unfun. This week has felt like June baseball to me. And it has just been, I mean, I feel like I've been living and dying with every pitch, and it makes no sense because we're literally six games into the season. Like, there's plenty of time left, but this is just has read June baseball. We're going to get into the first series against the Brewers and then also this series against Detroit. Lots to cover, so let's hop into the episode. The Mets opened up the 2024 season against the Milwaukee Brewers at Citi Field. And I don't know about you guys, but I love opening day. It just represents a fresh start, a new season. And the Mets just happen to be like opening day all-stars. So that's just an added bonus to this. And Mets fans, we always have that hope, no matter what the roster looks like, of thinking, you know, this is going to be our year. Even though it usually isn't, you know, this is just the mentality that we arrive at. Unfortunately, even though we are amazing on opening day, that did not fall in our favor as we did lose to the Brewers. Jose Quintana, he didn't pitch great in my opinion, but he didn't pitch awful either. I think he was just kind of like in between. He did give me like a heart attack at the beginning of the game when he walked the first batter on four pitches, and I was like, we are reliving 2023 with the way the starting pitching is going to be. But then he ended up, like I said, he ended up doing all right. The offense was just flat, and I don't know. Like, I just feel like all game the Mets weren't very energized. You can't expect to win a game when you're only getting one hit. I mean, it happened to be a home run, but it's very rare that you win a baseball game when you're only scoring one run a game. You know, the offense has got to click a little bit more, but it's the first game, so, you know, sometimes it takes time for these things to click. Especially with the colder weather and when it's not super hot out. Usually I feel like the summer is when, you know, teams start to get into a groove. The ball starts to fly a little bit more because of the weather. So I wasn't really like super shocked. I just, you know, obviously was disappointed that we lost, but it's the first game of the season. There was an altercation during the game. I think that, to be honest, was probably the most exciting part of the game. Seeing Jeff McNeil and Rhys Hoskins get into it a little bit, especially because Rhys used to be on the Phillies. So I would say that was probably the most interesting part of the game. But the bats were just flat. The pitching was okay. You know, like I said, Jose Quintana wasn't amazing, but he wasn't awful. And then in game two and game three against the Brewers, as far as our starting pitching was concerned, I don't feel like it was, again, horrible, but I don't feel like it was great either. Seve did struggle in the first inning, but it also didn't help that Zach Short made that error, and then Rhys Hoskins just murdered us in that game. But besides Rhys Hoskins, nobody on the Brewers was really making super solid contact against Seve. And I think a lot of people just like see the stat line and immediately start freaking out that he didn't pitch well. I don't think his stat line really represented how he pitched. This is just my opinion. From what I saw from the game, again, the Brewers were getting a lot of weak contact minus Rhys Hoskins. And a thing that I think a lot of people were talking about was like they felt like because of game one, the jarring between Jeff and Rhys, that the Mets should retaliate. And I'm all for retaliation, but I believe that if you are going to retaliate, you need to do it in the beginning of the game. Like, first at bat, you either need to throw behind him, brush him off the plate. If you want to hit him in the back, hit him in the back. But in my opinion, especially after this guy has just absolutely destroyed you offensively, to hit him in the way that they did in, like, his last at bat, just made the Mets, again, this is just all my opinion, made the Mets look like a clown show. I feel like if you're going to send a message, it needs to be sent in the beginning of the game, or it doesn't need to be done at all, because it just looked even worse to do it when they did it. And then you got your bullpen pitcher suspended for like three games. Carlos Mendoza, who's our manager, got suspended for a game. Like, it was just so much chaos. And I was like, and this is game two of the season, and we already have this much drama and this much chaos. And like I said, Rhys Hoskins absolutely destroyed us in that game offensively. It was horrible. The Mets bats were quiet for the majority of the game. They did get some hits against DL Hall, which I thought was productive. Definitely better from the day before. And they did come back in the ninth inning. Brett Beatty with that clutch three-run pinch hit home run. I'm telling you, my doubts about Brett Beatty are fueling him. I don't want to say he's going to have a good year, but I feel like the more that I doubt him, the better that he does. His fielding has come such a long way. I remember last year I used to hold my breath when the ball was hit to him. And previously I would only do that when the ball was hit to like Cano. But I would get nervous because I'm like, he's not that great of a fielder. And then he would, you know, struggle a lot at the plate. But I think now, for whatever reason, I don't know what he did in this offseason, but I just can sense a difference in his level of confidence. Obviously, he's not like Alvarez. We'll get to Alvarez in a little bit. But I can definitely see a difference in his confidence, and I think that is going to be huge going forward because this is the year for him. I feel like if he doesn't step up, I think the Mets will try to find somebody else to play third, maybe have Beatty platoon. I mean, we'll see what happens. And again, we're six games into the season, so we're getting way ahead of ourselves. And then Pete came up with a solo shot too, but it just wasn't enough to get it done. So when you're 0-2 and, you know, tempers are already flaring, you got a manager who suspended a game, a bullpen player who threw behind him, who now is suspended for three games, who is tossed from the game. I mean, we're two games into the season and there's so much drama and so much chaos already. And then in game three, you know, Tyler pitched all right. The first inning, he got into a little bit of trouble, but that's kind of always his bugaboo. The first inning is not, like, he just doesn't pitch well in the first inning. I feel like he never has that quick outing. It's always, like, a 20-pitch outing. And it just seemed like he never got comfortable. And then after the game, obviously, we found out it's because he's having, you know, shoulder issues. Now he's on the IL. So another spot the Mets need to deal with starting pitching, which, you know, was a concern coming in this year. But Francisco Alvarez is amazing. I am so glad and so thankful he is on our team. His defense is on point. His offense is on point. Like, he is night and day from where he started when he first came up. I mean, it's incredible just watching his confidence and just watching him blossom day by day. Now when, like, we're in a clutch situation, I'm like, where's Alvy? Because that's the guy I want up. Alvy's been playing great. I mean, there's really no other words to really describe it. The way he carries himself, the way that he's learned English, and his English is great. I mean, he has just come such a long way offensively, defensively, off the field. He's really emerging as not only a star, but I feel like a leader. I feel like his leadership qualities are starting to get out. Unfortunately, we ended up losing the third game as well. So the Brewers swept us. Not the way you want to start off the season. But again, baseball is so stupidly long. Anything could happen. But I think the concern with starting off 0-3 is just like your team is starting to kind of spiral. And it's like somebody, even though you've only lost three games, and like I said, baseball is so long, you need somebody to kind of emerge as the leader and kind of be like, guys, the season's young, but we need to step it up and we need to figure it out. And as we went into the Detroit series, it still seemed like the Mets were kind of flat, but we'll get into the Detroit series now. During the whole Detroit series, our starting pitching really flourished in this series. I mean, Sean Manaea absolutely lights out. Adrian Hauser absolutely lights out. Jose Buto absolutely lights out. Our starting pitching brought it. They brought it this series. Our offense did not bring it all this series. Nimmo and Lindor right now are so cold. And it's so frustrating because I love both those guys. And I know what they're capable of. They're great players. But when they are going through it, it's like when you are going on a bad stretch, if you've ever played baseball or softball, and you are going through a slump offensively, it is the most miserable thing. Because it just seems like even when you start like coming out of the slump, and you're hitting the ball harder, it's like going to people. Like, it's like you hit a line drive right to somebody. It's absolutely infuriating. But our starting pitching really brought it the series. I mean, like I said, Sean Manaea was absolutely lights out, and we straight up gave him the DeGrom treatment. And for what if people don't know what that means, basically it means, like, he went out there, did his thing, gave up no runs, and we just didn't score for him. We got no hits for him. The Mets also, like, they had multiple chances to score, and they just left so many people on base. And then when it got to extra innings, the bullpen came in and just everything fell apart. Joey Wendell made that error, and it was just like, I forgot who on the Tigers it was, but somebody hit a 3-run home run, and then it was like 5-0. And it's like, the game's over. We can't score five runs. That was crazy. After the first game in the Detroit series, Mother Nature decided to take her course, so to speak, and the games on Tuesday and Wednesday were rained out, so they decided to play a doubleheader on Thursday. In the first game of the series, the Mets had Adrian Hauser on the mound. Hauser did an amazing job out there. Definitely did a lot better than I was expecting, to be honest. I thought he was going to get absolutely shelled, and this was just going to be a disaster from start to finish. The one issue, and I think a lot of people were talking about it and have different opinions on it, is the Mets were playing a doubleheader today. And as a manager, in my opinion, when you know that your team is playing a doubleheader, you do not want to tax your bullpen the first game because you don't know what's going to happen the second game. And yes, you should always be trying to win the first game, but you should also want to, like, win the second game. You have to be kind of mindful of everything. So Adrian Hauser was pitching great. He got into a little bit of trouble at the beginning of the sixth inning. He walked a guy. Next guy got a single. So he had first and third, no outs. He only threw 67 pitches. Carlos Mendoza decided to take him out of the game. I personally think that was the wrong move. I think they should have let Jeremy Hefner go out, talk to Hauser, see what was kind of going on, and at least give him another batter to figure it out. Because your pitcher has thrown 67 pitches. You can't tax your bullpen. And yes, the Mets were winning thanks to Alvey. He got a nice double, two RBIs for him. Beatty single, RBI for him. Brett, like I said, Brett Beatty is really doing a good job right now, in my opinion. But you can't tax your bullpen. And I feel like that's exactly what happened. He burned through too many guys. The Tigers ended up tying the game. And the Tigers ended up winning in extra innings. So then the next game, you have Jose Buto on the mound. Luckily, Buto came through and pitched six strong innings for us. He got in a little bit of trouble with the pitch counts in the first two, but then he really just basically, like, ripped through that lineup his last two innings that he was pitching. But I mean, he basically, Buto saved us, because I thought once we lost that first game, I was like, there's no way we're winning the second game. We literally have no reinforcements. We've used basically everyone in our bullpen minus two guys, and the two guys we have left, one of them, no offense to him, he did an amazing job today, but every time he has pitched for the Mets, he has not been good. He has been awful. So it was good to see Reed Garrett come through, but I was like, we have that guy, and then we have a guy that's coming back from suspension. Like, how good is he going to be? But like I said, luckily, Buto did his job. He only gave up one run. The Mets' bats were absolutely cold until the ninth inning when Pete hit the home run and Taylor got the walk-off single, and the Mets got their first win. But we really needed that. We needed that win more than anything, because it's like, this is how you build momentum. Even if it seems dumb, like, oh, well, we won a game in the bottom of the ninth inning when our bats are cold. Our bats are probably still going to be cold. People, I think, underestimate sometimes how much just like a walk-off win can really ignite a team. Like, I remember in 2015, and again, I'm not trying to play the comparison card, but in 2015, I remember the Mets were so, they couldn't hit. They got no hit like twice that year. They just could not hit. Like, the pitching was always there because we had Harvey, DeGrom, Syndergaard, Mats, we had Bartolo. We had all the pitching was always going to show up. Even in the bullpen. The bullpen, we had Familia. And the pitching was always going to show up. It was always the offense that was the problem. And then I feel like the Mets traded for Cespedes. And then they won that walk-off game against the Nationals when they were fighting for the division lead. And then, like, Cespedes just absolutely became a legend offensively for the Mets. And just everything, after that game, everything started to fall into place. They got the bat that they needed. And then Wilmer Flores had, like, the game of his life. And it's things like that that I feel like people are, like, that don't get talked about as much as they necessarily should have. Like, I sometimes feel like all you got to do is catch lightning in a bottle. Even the Phillies a couple years ago, when they went to the World Series, I shouldn't say a couple years ago, I think it was like 2 years ago, when the Mets in 2022 were an amazing team. They won 101 games. They didn't make it out of the wild card round. The Phillies basically were very mediocre the majority of the season. They caught lightning in a bottle at the right time. And yes, they didn't win the World Series, but they made it there. And nobody expected them to. It's kind of much like the Diamondbacks and the Rangers, teams that had awful seasons the year before they went to the World Series. Sometimes it's literally just getting hot at the right time. And I'm not saying this Mets team is necessarily destined for the World Series, but it's baseball. You never know what could happen. Sometimes you just need to catch the lightning in the bottle. That's all for this week's episode. Be sure to tune in next week when I cover our series against Cincinnati and Atlanta, aka the House of Horrors.